Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 in our Bibles. When you find the place in God's Word, why don't we go ahead and stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word this morning as we do here at Bible Baptist. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35, we'll begin reading this morning. And we'll read to the end of that chapter, verse number 41, if you'd follow along with me. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, please bless the message. Lord, we need you. I'd ask you to give me wisdom, words to say your power. Lord, please give each one of us listening ears tender hearts, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you do. May decisions be made for you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I don't know about you. When I was a child, I was scared to death of storms. I was one of those kids. I don't know how many of you have those kids that run into mom and dad's bedroom and hide under the bed. I literally, that was me when I was a kid. I hated storms. And every time that a storm came and I started to hear the thunder and started to see the lightning, I knew we were going to die. I just knew it was the end. All the world was going to come to an end. I was not going to live after that storm. I don't know what it was about. Now I've gotten over that fear a little bit. And I don't hide under the bed anymore. I just eat to get past it. And we're okay. But I remember one specific time. I grew up in Lamont, Illinois, a little bit outside of Chicago there. And for some reason, it was like Tornado Alley there. And we had tornadoes, it seemed like, every year. I remember one specific time. We were outside. It was after church on a Sunday night. And it was still it was during the summer, so it was still light out. We're playing, having a good time outside. And then you start to see the sky get green, as it does. If you've ever been through a tornado, you see that sky, that appearance there, start to turn that green. It starts to get eerie and creepy looking. And then you start to see that funnel cloud start to form there. And there's always a little bit of a peace and calmness, but it moves in and the winds start to pick up. And for some reason, our electricity went out. I don't know if it was due to the storm coming in or what it was, but the sirens start to roar. As a kid, you hear those sirens start to go off. You get freaked out. And you see that eerie sky. And we're all brought down to the basement where it's dark and there's no lights on. And man, I'm worried to death what's going to happen. I remember my dad. He goes out the back door of the basement and he's watching the tornado. And it's coming towards our house there. And it was just it's creating devastation in its path as it's coming this way. And before it reaches our property, the tornado lifts up out of the sky. It jumps over our house and falls on the subdivision behind us and just brings ruin to the subdivision behind us. I remember the whole time, though, thinking, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. Mom, Dad, I love you. Brothers and sisters, I love you. And that's it. I hate it. And to be honest with you, people that like storms are nut jobs. I'm saying this morning, if you like a storm, there's nothing like a good storm. There's a screw loose inside of you this morning. And you better get that checked out. I don't understand. I like the days like today. Bring the sunshine out, you know, have it warm up a little bit, and everything's good. But don't bring the storm. I don't like storms. I know we need the rain, we need all that, but it's not my cup of tea. And the disciples find themselves in a storm situation here in our text this morning. They're traveling on the Sea of Galilee by boat. I guess that's the only way to travel the Sea of Galilee is by boat. But they're traveling across the sea there, and the cool air from the mountains surrounding the Sea of Galilee starts to blow through, and right around the lake there, right around the sea, was a lot of warm air, just the way it's set up. And that cool air many times would meet up with that warm air and would easily start to develop a storm that would brew. And oftentimes, without warning, a storm would come up there on the Sea of Galilee, and they would not have a very huge heads up about what was about to happen. And we see this is the case here. In verse 37, the Bible says that this wind develops into a great storm. He describes it there as a great storm. Now notice that. What does it mean to be a great storm? A powerful storm. A storm that's going to do some damage. A storm that's going to have some impact. The truth is, in our lives, there's no little storms that come into our lives. Every storm that's in my life is a big storm. Now, I might look at other people's storms and say, well, that's a little storm. I might look after my storm and say, that was a little storm. But while I'm going through my storm, no storm is a little storm. You been there before? We don't look at our storm and say, well, you know, really, that's nothing. It's a big storm to us. And that's what they're going through. This great storm comes up. In verse 37, we see the winds begin to blow, and it's rocking that ship back and forth, throwing it around like a rag doll. The waves, the Bible says, begin to beat into the ship. Those waves get high. And man, I read some about some of those storms that happen. And I was reading about recently that perfect storm that a number of years ago hit the East Coast. Waves that measured up to 100 feet tall. Man, just crazy waves. And those waves begin to beat against the ship. The Bible tells us here that the waves were beaten so much that it started to fill up the ship. Man, you know you got problems when you have more water in the boat than you have in the lake. And that's what's going on. It reminds me of a story. We were in Missouri vacationing one time as a family when I was smaller. And we took a boat. We had borrowed a boat from a friend of ours. And we're out on the lake in this boat. And over time, the boat starts to get lower and lower and lower. And we weren't adding on more weight to the boat. So we were wondering what was going on. That's not supposed to happen. If you go boating, your boat's not supposed to get lower as you get out there. So eventually we decided, as the boat is about that far from the water, the rim of it, we better head back and figure out what's going on. So we get back there and they had those boat lifts and we lifted it up. We forgot to put the plug in the back. And so don't do that out boating. But that's a problem. When your boat starts to fill up with water, you're going to have issues. Amen? And so that's what's happening. Their boat is about to sink really any minute, they believe. And surely in their minds they're thinking, hey, this isn't supposed to happen. This storm is not supposed to be here at this time. It's not supposed to bring destruction on our lives. We got a mission. We're with Christ. We're winning the world. This isn't supposed to be in my life right now. This must be a mistake. Their lives are in danger. The storm is bringing trouble. What in the world's going on, God? You know, a lot of times we view our storms exactly that way. The storm comes into our life, that God will bring a trial into our life. God will bring sorrow into our life. God will bring some suffering into our life. God will bring some heartache into our life. And there's some storms, even this morning, there's storms that people are going through in their lives. And often we look at these storms and we think, man, this storm is not meant to be. This storm should not be here. This must be a mistake because I shouldn't be going through this. This storm is unexpected in my life. And this is going to bring destruction in my life. And can I say, just like I said about the physical storm, anybody that likes a physical storm is a nut job. Anybody that likes a spiritual storm is a nut job. I don't know anybody that says, hey God, bring the storm into my life because I can't wait to go through another storm. I don't know about anybody this morning, and surely I know I didn't, get on my knees this morning and say, God, send a storm into my life today. You're foolish to ask that. Nobody likes the storms. Nobody wants the storms. God never said that we'd enjoy the storms that we go through. I don't read in His Word where He ever says that. No, nobody ever enjoys the fact of hearing news about a child of theirs having all of a sudden a life-threatening illness, a life-threatening sickness. Nobody enjoys that news, that storm. Nobody enjoys or prays that their job will be pulled from them. Nobody prays that their finances are going to be jerked out from under them. Nobody prays to go through storms in their life. You follow me this morning? Nobody asks for that storm to come into his life. Not for the winds to start crashing or the waves to get high or for the boat to fill up in their life. That's not what we want in our lives. We want the smooth sailing. We want the sunshine. We want the nice weather. But we find in our text this morning that there's a purpose. There's a purpose in the storm. Can I show us this morning that there's a reason that we go through storms in our life? A storm is not a mistake. A storm is not by accident. A storm doesn't catch God off guard. There's a reason that I go through storms. When the storm arises, I need to understand there's a purpose behind this storm. The thing that the disciples needed not to do, they needed not to bail out of the boat during the storm. All of a sudden, they had this crisis in their life. They had the storm. And what they needed to make sure that they didn't do was bail out and jump out of the boat because a storm came into their life. But can I say that happens to a lot of us a lot of times? A storm rises and I bail out of whatever God's put me through. I bail out of the boat. I bail out of my faith. I quit. I say, God, no more. I had enough. And in this time in the disciples' life, the last thing they needed to do was to bail out of that boat, to say, I give up, to say, I'm going to quit in it. The wind was bad, the boat was full, and it seemed like they were going to sink any minute. But it would have been a real disaster had they bailed out on everything. Hey, it would have been a real disaster, and it would have changed the whole story had they left the boat during this time. The storm is not the time to bail out of the boat. You bail out of the boat during the storm, and that's when people start drowning. A lot of people in their lives, we have storm come up, and we flee God. We flee the house of God. We flee the Word of God. We go other directions. We start looking here and there, and we quit everything that we built our life on. We quit the faith that we once had. I talk to people all the time that say, hey, I believed in God once, or one time I felt that way, one time I was in church, but I quit because this came into my life. A storm came into their life, and because of that storm, they said, I'm going to throw everything else to the wind. I'm not going to believe in God anymore. I'm not going to be in church anymore. I'm not going to have my faith anymore. And they throw it all aside. You can't bail out in the storm. That's when real accidents happen. That's when real deaths occur. Stay in the ship in the storm. Hang in there and stay in there. So we're going to preach this morning on the topic, stay in the ship in the storm. Stay in the ship in the storm. God's going to bring storms, both great and small, into our lives. What do I need to do when a storm comes into my life? I need to stay put. I need to stay in the ship. I need to ride the storm out. I need to stay with it. And we're going to see from this passage of Scripture how that's the case, that there's purpose. There's purpose to my storm. Christ had been preaching all day before crossing over the Sea of Galilee. We read chapter 4 and we find the messages that He's given to the people. Verse 35, we see where Christ tells His disciples, if you look at that verse again with me, He says, let us pass over unto the other side. He says, disciples, we're on a mission. We're going to go across to the other side. We're going to go to Gadara. And so He sends the people away. He loads the disciples up on a boat. Verse 36. And we notice at the end of verse 36, I want you to understand this, it says, and there were also with Him other little ships. I want you to notice now, we're going to get on with the message, but I want you to notice how He phrases that right there. Christ is going to load up with His disciples. They're going to go through a storm. But I want us to understand, Christ and His disciples are not the only one going through the storm. The Bible says here that there's other little ships that are going with them. I don't know if it was other followers that decided we want to follow Christ over to the other side or what it was. But too many times, we get in our mindset that I'm the only one going through the storm. I'm the only one that's got trials. I'm the only one that has sorrows. And we develop a pity party for ourselves, a self-pity on ourselves, because we think I'm the only one that's ever gone through the storm. I got to be careful about that thinking. The thinking that I'm the only one going through this suffering. That I'm the only one that goes through a trial. When I seep into that thinking, I end up becoming selfish in my actions. The disciples needed to look up and realize, hey, while I'm in the storm, there's other people going through the storm too. Hey, there's other people going through hard times. There's other people going through trials. Christian, can I admonish us and encourage us this morning? When you go through the storm, understand there's other people that have been there, done that before. I'm not the first one to walk through this path. I'm not the first one to get to the other side of the lake either. I got to understand, there are other people. A lot of our attitude problems comes from thinking, I'm the only one that has to go through this. Woe is me. I can't develop that attitude. I can't develop that mentality. I got to look up and see that there's other boats that are stuck in the storm as well. The truth is, many other people have gone through the same storm. Don't get self-focused in the storm. But the storm begins to rise and all chaos breaks loose. Well, you notice where Christ is when the storm comes. Christ, where are you at? The storm is growing worse. The disciples are getting frantic. They're getting frustrated. What are we going to do? Where's Christ at? Look at verse 38. And he's speaking of, help me out, Christ. And He was where? In the hinder part of the ship. Now, where's the hinder part of the ship? That's the captain's quarters. He was asleep on a pillow in the captain's quarters. And hey, can I say, that's exactly where Christ needs to be in our lives, in the captain's quarters? Hey, Christian, too many times, Christ is not in the captain's quarters in our lives. You know who is? We are. We're running our lives. We're directing our lives. And when we get into the storm and I'm directing my life, guess what? Trouble's right on the horizon. The purpose that's meant for the storm is not going to take place in my life when I'm running my life. I got to allow Christ to be the captain of my life. I got to allow Him to steer and to guide and to direct my life, Christian. And we see that He's asleep on the boat right there. The disciples go to Christ for help. They find Christ sleeping on the pillow. Now, this was kind of different to me when I read it for the first time. You know, years ago when I started reading through my Bible, I come upon it, Christ is sleeping in the middle of the storm. His disciples need Him and He's sleeping. You ever feel like Christ or like God is asleep when you call on Him in the midst of trouble? I'll talk to people and they say, man, I pray. It seems like it does no good. Job made this statement. that I look up, I look to the side of me, I can't find where God is at in my life right now. And this is a situation that the disciples are in. Hey, is God unconcerned with my problems and my trials that I'm going through? He's not responding regardless of the prayer that I lift up. It doesn't seem like God's acting upon what I'm going through in my trial. It seems like there's no relief no matter how much I plead and how much I beg. Can I say, take comfort because the disciples were in that same boat. They're in the midst of trouble. They're in the midst of a storm. And they find Christ sleeping. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 15 says, though, verily thou art a God that hideth thyself. We have a God that sometimes chooses to hide himself. He sometimes chooses not to reveal himself in the midst of a storm. Hey God, if you just reveal yourself, if you'll just show yourself, I'll know that you're God. Sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to reveal myself. I'm not going to show myself. I'm going to stay hidden because I want to see how you handle this. What are you going to do now? Sometimes God hides himself. Isaiah made that quote. Know something about your God. God doesn't always reveal yourself to us in the storm. He didn't with Job. Sometimes it seems, catch that, sometimes it seems as though he sleeps. What is God asleep? But can I also admonish us this morning? He does not sleep. Hey, it might seem like sometimes God is slumbering and sleeping. It might seem like, God, where are you at? But can I admonish you this morning? Psalm chapter 121 says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Who keeps me? God. God does not slumber. He says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Regardless of what it seems like in your life, when you're going through that sorrow, when you're going through that storm, you have a God that is not sleeping on His watch. Hey, you have a God that's not resting, He's not slumbering, He didn't give up. It's not that He's not hearing your prayer. He's just making that choice to hide Himself for now. He has a purpose in all of it. I got to trust, I got to have faith. The disciples ask Christ this question when they get to Him and find Him sleeping on the pillow there. They're in the midst of the storm. Notice what they ask Him. Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Now, I would imagine they say it with a little bit more intensity. They're running around. The ship is filling up with water. You can only imagine. They finally find Christ sleeping. Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? Hey, don't you care that we're all going under? You ever felt that way? God, do you even care what I'm going through in my life? God, do you even care about this situation? I don't see how you're resolving it for me, God. Christ, are you not concerned that we're going to be destroyed in the storm? You know what happens when you lose all hope that the Master cares? You're just moments from jumping out of the boat. I got to remember that my Savior cares for me. Because when I lose that, I'm just moments from saying, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to jump. I'm going to leave it all to the side. I'm going over. And that's their question. Master, do you even care for us? Hey, if God does not care for us, if God leaves us stranded in the storm, what's the point? If God leaves you and I stranded, is there a point to staying in the storm? Absolutely not. The truth of the matter is, though, that God does care. God does care. Hey, there's a reason that you're going through the storm this morning. There's a reason that you went through the storm that you just went through. There's a reason that you're going into the storm that you don't know that you're going into yet. God has a reason. He has a purpose for the storm. The disciples didn't see this purpose offhand, but God had a purpose for the storm that He was sending them through. Don't bail. Hey, Christian, don't bail this morning on the storm that God has for you. Don't jump out of the boat. Don't give up on your faith. Don't quit what you're doing in your life because a storm comes in. If you bail during the storm, the purpose of your storm will be lost. Hey, if you jump out of the boat because a storm arises, the whole purpose for that storm is lost. Because I just jumped out. I went backwards. I got to stay in the ship. I got to stay in the ship. Why should we stay in the ship when the storm arises? When God sends that storm, when He sends that trial, when He sends that suffering, why do I need to stay in the ship? I want to look at a few reasons we should stay in the ship this morning. Number one, we'll stay in the ship. We see in this passage of Scripture, we need to stay there because the storm is sent by God. Why do I need to stay in the ship when the storm comes? Hey, Christian, why do I need to stay in the ship when trouble comes my way? When heartache comes my way? Because I need to understand that the storm is sent by God. The storms in our life do not come by accident. Hey, they don't come by mistake. They don't come by chance. No storm is a mistake in your life. The disciples did not find themselves in a storm just by accident. Oh wow, the storm all of a sudden came up. It wasn't just coincidence that cool air hit that warm air on the Sea of Galilee and all of a sudden the waves are crashing. No, there's some purpose behind it. God sent it. Who sent them out of the water to begin with? Well, we look at verse 35 where Christ said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Hey, Christ said, hey, we want to go across on a boat. Who was the one that led them into the storm? Help me out. Who was it? It was Christ Himself. Hey, we awake this morning? We awake? Christ sent them into that storm. He says, let's go to the other side. Christ knew that the storm awaited them. It didn't catch them by surprise that all of a sudden a storm was going to start brewing on the edge of that sea there, and it was going to hit them smack dab in the middle of where they were at. It was not a surprise to him. How is Christ sleeping in this boat? Picture this. Picture this. Anyone ever been on a storm or in a storm on a boat before? Never? Brother Justin? Brother Don? Can you sleep during that time? No, especially a little ship like, we're not talking a cruise liner, you know, carrying like 12,000 people. We're talking a little ship. And they're on that boat. You just imagine those waves get to toss and a great storm comes up. That boat's rocking back and forth. That chaos on there. Waves sinking the thing down. How in the world do you sleep on a ship during a storm? How did Christ fall asleep there? Because it didn't catch him by surprise. He wasn't worried. He wasn't frightened by being tossed back and forth like a foosball on a ship. It didn't catch him by... He knew what was going to happen. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't by chance. He knew all that was coming. Hey, when things come and they're not a surprise to us, we're a little bit more at ease with it. And that's how Christ is. He knows. He's the author of this storm. Psalm chapter 135, verse 7 says, He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh the lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Hey, God is the author of the storm. God brings the wind. God creates the lightning. God sends the rain. He's the author of it all. He's the creator of it all. The disciples, why do they need to stay in the ship? Well, because God sent that storm. He created that storm. He's the one that made that storm to be brewing. Christian, can I say this morning, know the author of your storms? This morning, know the author. Know where your storm came from. You're going through a trial this morning. Know where that trial came from. You've gone through suffering in your life. Know where that suffering came from. You're going through heartache in your life. Know who is the author of that heartache. You said, well, God wants me to be miserable. God didn't allow the storm because He wants you to be miserable. Once again, there's purpose to it. But I first need to know the author. Don't jump out of the ship because God is the author of that storm that I'm going through. It is God that brings storms into our life. The author of Job's storms, it was God. The author of David's storms, as I read God's word, it was God. The author of Paul's storms, the storms that he won, it was God. Hey, the author of the believer's storms is God. You say, surely God wouldn't send this storm. Surely God wouldn't send the storm that the disciples went through. But lo and behold, it's God as the author. Christ sent them in, God brought the storm. You know what? We have a sovereign and a supreme God. You say, what does that mean, a sovereign and supreme God? Someone once said it like this. God can do anything He wants to any time He wants to, any way He wants to, and for any purpose He wants to. Hey, God doesn't answer to anybody. Hey, God doesn't answer to you and I. Why? I just want to know why. I want to know why God did this. God doesn't have to tell you and I why. God doesn't have to explain Himself. He's God. Who am I that God would have to explain Himself to little old me? He's the author of it all. He's supreme and sovereign. God is a creator and controller of the universe. He created it. He controls all of it. He controls what happens in my life. He controls the calm and He controls the storm too. So many times we want to know why. God, why the storm? Why the troubles? Why the suffering? Can I tell us this morning? We just need to understand that He's the author. And that's enough. Hey, God's the author of my storm this morning. And that's enough to keep my faith. That's enough to stay in the boat. If God sent the storm along, I'm willing to stay in the boat. I'm just willing to stay there. I'm not going to move. God does nothing by accident or by chance. You know, God has a reason for the storms that He puts us through. That trial, that storm, He has a reason for. They're not coincidences. They're not random. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, God worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Think about that. God worketh all things after the counsel of His will. God has a will. He has a goal. He has a plan in mind. And everything that God does is working towards that goal, that will. You say, I don't see how this is going to affect that will. God has a plan. It's all part of His plan. He is trying to work His will. He has a goal, and He's trying to get that goal. Often personal affliction, pain, suffering, and sorrow tend to cause one to think seriously about God as a creator or controller. I talk to people that begin to doubt, is there really a God? Because trouble comes up. That's scary. That's scary. The believer must remember that God is, and that's enough. He is the I Am. He controls all. You remember the story of Jairus? Jairus' daughter was about to die and he asked for healing. And Christ said, okay, I'll go heal her. And on the way they met that woman that had an issue. Touch a garment. And then somebody comes to Christ and says, okay, Jairus is dead. Or Jairus' daughter is dead. Remember what Christ's reaction was? He says, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. You know, a lot of times we get in that storm and we don't know why, we don't know all the purpose, but you know what I need to do? Be not afraid, only believe. Hey, if he's the author, just keep my faith. Just keep my trust in him. I don't know why. Jairus didn't know why. Why is my daughter now dead? Well, why did he wait up for this one? I can't always explain why, but be not afraid, only believe. Christian, can I say you're going through a storm this morning? Be not afraid, only believe. Hey, keep putting your faith in God. Keep putting your trust in him and stay in that boat. The believer must remember that God is far more concerned with our welfare than we are. Think about that, Christian. God cares more about me than I care about me. I care an awful lot about me sometimes. But as much as I care about number one right here, God cares so much more about me. God has my best interests at heart. And any storm that he leads me through is there to help me. It's there to guide me. It's there to make me more. And so I got to trust that he cares more about me than I do. And he's going to send me through that storm for a reason. Don't bail out of the boat in the storm. It's sent by God. So stay in the ship. Stay in the ship because of the author. It's sent by God. Number two, stay in the ship. Why? Why? Because a storm is not sent to destroy. The storm is sent to direct. Hey, stay in the ship because the ship is not sent, or the storm is not sent to destroy. It's sent to direct. God did not send that storm to destroy the disciples, but to give direction in their lives. The storm was not sent to shatter the ship in pieces. It was not to take their lives from them. It was not to bring ruin and destruction to their lives or to slay them. God's storms are not sent to destroy the believer's life. Hey, that storm is not sent to shatter my faith. That storm is not sent to get me to doubt God. That storm is not sent to slay the believer or to ruin my life. A storm a lot of times causes me to think, does God hate me? Does God, what does he really want in my life? What did I do wrong, God? You ever ask that question? Something comes in your life, God, what did I do wrong? Surely I did something wrong, the storm. That storm was not sent because he hated the disciples. That storm was sent to direct the disciples in their life. You say, how so? We'll get to it. You know, a lot of times our reaction is to automatically view a storm negatively because it's a storm and nobody likes storms. But can I say the storm more often is for a positive reason than a negative? I got to look at the storm properly. The storm is ruining my life. You know, storms might ruin our plans, but that doesn't mean it's ruining my life. Because the best place to be in my life is where God's plans are, not my own plans. Hey, trials might ruin my plans for my life, but it's not ruining his plans. He's got his own plan, and I'm going to be better off following it anyways. Stay in the boat. Look at the disciples. Look at what they would have missed if God had not sent this storm. Verse 39. Man, I get excited about this verse right here because I love seeing God work. Y'all like seeing God work? Look at this, verse 39. And he, who's he? Christ. Christ arose right here. Hey, Christ raises up. Anytime he raises, he's getting ready for action. You better get excited when Christ starts sitting up. Christ, the next time that he sits up from his throne, you know what he's going to be doing? He's going to be calling us home. Hey, I get excited about that. Christ sits up here. You know what he's getting ready to do? Look at it. He says that he gets up, he rebukes the wind. I like to see that. He rebukes the wind and said unto the sea, three words, catch it, peace be still. With all power and with all authority, Christ stands up and he says to the storm, he says, hey, peace be still. Look at it. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. You know, the storm is raging. The waves are crashing into the boat. The boat's filling up. It's about to sink. And the disciples are frantic. They're running everywhere. It sounds a lot like our lives sometimes. And Christ is there. And Christ all of a sudden says three words. He says, peace be still. And just imagine, the waves are rocking that ship back and forth. Water's pouring in. They're sinking. And all of a sudden, at once, immediately, it's like a sea of glass across that lake. The rain stops falling. The waves stop crashing. It's just perfect calm. All the noise of a storm, just perfectly calm. I would have loved to be there to see that. Wouldn't you? See His power at work. Can I say, had that storm never came into their life, they never saw the miracle on the other end. Hey, they never would have experienced the peace be still and all of a sudden seen God's power at work. All that they would have missed had they not gone through the storm. When you miss a storm, you also miss seeing Christ perform the miraculous as a result. Hey, you miss seeing Christ do what you never thought He could do. There's been times in my life where I see Christ take care of a situation. I step back and say, man, God, I didn't know that You could work like that. I mean, I had faith in You, but I didn't really see the end result and how You could work that out. When I miss the storm, I miss seeing that. God's storm is not sent to destroy, it's sent to direct. What happens through this experiencing the storm? Hey, it didn't destroy him. I want you to look what it did for him. Their faith in the Savior grows because of this storm. Hey, the storm would teach the disciples, rather than to depend on themselves, rather than to fear and to worry in the midst of a storm, to trust and depend on Christ. It's teaching them, and it's growing their faith. You know, Christians, sometimes God has a storm in our life just to grow our faith. Just so that the next storm that we go through, it won't be living in ourselves. It'll say, hey, God will take care of that. I'm going to put my trust and dependence on God in this one. It's growing their faith in the circumstance. It's teaching them to, rather than fear in the time of trouble, to trust. Christ asks them at the end of this experience, He says, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? This storm, He's trying to increase their faith right here. Make their faith a little bit stronger. I want you to notice what else it did. It increased their knowledge of the Savior. Not only their faith in the Savior, but their knowledge of the Savior. This storm teaches the disciples about their Savior, about His power. You know, up to this point, they didn't know the power that Christ had over the wind and over the seas. Hey, they didn't know the power that He had over all creation. And all of a sudden they go through the storm and they experience what Christ can do and they grow in their knowledge of the Savior. The fact that Christ can rebuke the sea and the wind, that the sea and the wind obey Him. The storm brought a new understanding of Christ's power to do. Their admiration for the Savior grows. Not only their faith, not only their knowledge of Him, but their admiration, their respect, their reverence for this man. Look at what they say in verse 41. It says, they feared exceedingly. Now that fear is a reverent fear, I believe. It says, and said to one another, what manner of man is this? Who is this man? Who is the Son of God? What great power. They grew in their admiration of who Christ was. How great a Savior we have. They found a new respect and a new reverence for their Savior. What a mighty God we serve. Was no doubt their reaction. Storm, suffering, and sorrow often are more often God's way of teaching and directing than God's way of punishing. Sometimes we look at the storm and we automatically think, God's punishing my life. No, more often, it's God trying to teach and direct in our life. God trying to grow us in our life. David says in Psalm, in fact, turn to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119, verse 71. I want you to see what David says about suffering, about affliction, about storms. Yeah, David didn't like storms either. And no doubt he went through his share of them. Psalm 119, verse 71. Look at it if you would. David says here, it is good for me that I have been what? Help me out. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Affliction. We never like affliction. Why? Why is it good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes? You know, suffering is a required course in God's school. God says, I need you to go through suffering because that's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to learn. That's how you're going to learn my statutes. That's how you're going to grow in your knowledge of me. That's how you're going to grow in your faith of me. That's how you're going to grow in your admiration of me. It's going to be through the suffering. It's going to be through the storm, Christian. It's a good thing. Hey, through the storm, God desires to grow our faith, to grow our dependence and our trust on Him, where I say, God, I'm going to go ahead and place this in Your hands rather than worry about it for myself or rather than try to take care of it by myself. Our faith is grown. God wants us to learn to trust Christ rather than worry in the storm. We grow in the storm in our knowledge of Christ. We learn about the power and the ability that Christ has in our lives. The storm helps me to understand about my Savior a little bit more. Through the storm, God desires to grow my admiration of Christ. What a great, what a powerful, what a compassionate Savior that I have. And I learn that when I go through the storm. I learn how He takes care of my needs. I learn that He's able to solve problems. I hear that song, Oh, What a Savior. I love that song. Oh, what a Savior. You know, when I get through the storm, that's my testimony. I looked up and I see, oh, what a Savior I have. Oh, what a precious Savior I have. Now, this won't be our first reaction in the storm, but it will be our last reaction if we stay in the ship rather than bail out. I got to stay with it. The believer watches how Christ works in the storm, and he'll step back and say, what manner of man is this? What Savior do I have? What a great God that I have. I have an amazing God. Hey, have you found that out this morning yet? Maybe you need a storm to walk through and find out, hey, I do have an amazing God. It teaches me to admire and revere. If I never experience a storm, there's so much I miss. If I don't experience a storm, man, I don't see how God works. Don't hate Christian, don't flee the storm this morning and miss seeing God do the miraculous in your life. Don't jump out of the boat trying to get back over to land and miss seeing all that God wants to do. Don't bail out. God's purpose in the storm might not always be to pass the storm away from our lives. Sometimes God's purpose in the storm, we stay in that storm, and God's grace is sufficient in the storm. And that storm lasts and lasts and lasts, and His grace just continues to be sufficient. But continue to stay in that boat. Don't bail. It's not sent to destroy. It's sent to direct and to teach and to grow us as a Christian. Number three, and we're moving along quickly. Why should I stay in the ship? Stay in the ship because the storm is harmless in the presence of the Savior. Hey, think about that truth there for a second. The storm is harmless in the presence of the Savior. As long as the disciples were in that ship and Christ was in that ship with them, guess what was not happening? That ship wasn't going down, I guarantee you that. Because Christ had a mission. Christ was going to go to the cross. Storm or no storm, Christ was going to end up dying for your sins and for my sins. Hey, that storm wasn't going to take Christ's life. Think about that. In the presence of the Savior, that storm was harmless. It couldn't hurt them. It couldn't destroy their lives. It couldn't ruin them. Sure, it'd give them a scare. It would put them through some hard times and some troubles, but they were safe as long as they were with the Savior. I want you to think about that truth this morning, Christian. In the storms of our lives, we want to find a refuge. We want a safety. And oftentimes, we run after and look for that safety, and we leave the boat. Or we try to hide to find that shelter. Christ says, hey, safety is not in the absence of the storm. Safety is in the presence of the Savior. Hey, safety is not in being where the storm is not. Safety is being wherever Christ is at. And if I'll get that down, man, I'll be safe where I'm at. There can be peace in my life where I'm at. The safest place for the believer is by the Savior's side. Hey, at the Savior's side, I can experience the peace that nobody else can experience, even in the midst of the storm. Who are you walking through your storm with? Who are you and I walking through our storms with? A lot of people don't walk with Christ through the storm. What do you mean walking with Christ? Being by the Savior's side. I'm not just saying, claiming, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm talking walking with Him. Having that fellowship with Him. Communing with Him. That means us talking to Him and Him talking to us through His Word and through prayer. That's the fellowship. That's the closest that I'm talking about. And that storm comes along. Man, there's something about being in the presence of God, being in the presence of our Savior, having that walk with Him, that sweetness that's there, even going through the hard times and the difficult times, the storms. There's two reasons that people aren't by the Savior's side in the midst of a storm, and they walk through it by themselves, it seems like. Number one, because they're not saved, and so they cannot have that fellowship with the Savior. Hey, if you're here this morning, you've never had a time and a place where you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you cannot have that fellowship. You're not His child. You need to be born again, the Bible says. You need that quickening experience where the Bible says we need salvation from our sins. He comes inside of our heart. He forgives us of our sins. We become a child of God. And now as a child of God, I can have that relationship with the Father. But if I'm not saved this morning, I cannot have that fellowship. I don't know how in the world lost people get through this life, to be honest with you. I don't. Because I go through storms and I see people, other Christians go through storms. And I just look, I don't know how they can do it without Christ's help. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can't do it without His help. Man, there's just some things I go through. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Christ by my side. You're missing out if you don't have Him by your side. The other reason a lot of people don't have Him by their side is a Christian that is saved, they never develop or commit to a relationship with Christ, a fellowship with Him, a communion with Him. They don't take the time to spend time in God's Word. They don't take the time every day to pray and spend time with their Savior and ask for their needs and spend time fellowshipping with Him. Hey, Christian, if you don't spend time with the Savior, you're not in His presence in the storm, and there's a peace that you're missing. there's a peace. Once again, I want you to look at what David said in Psalms. Turn back over to the book of Psalms, chapter 55, if you would. There's no harm to fear when I'm close to the Savior. I got to be close to His presence. When you're with the One who says, "Peace, be still," there's a peace that He gives. And we see that with David. Look at how he responded to the storm. Psalm 55, verse 8. David says here, "I would hasten my escape from the windy storms and tempests." He says, "Hey, I want to quickly get out of this storm, this windy storm, this tempest, this trial that's in my life. I would quickly get out of it." I want you to skip down to verse 16. Look at how he responds to the storm, though. He says, "As for me, yes, I have a storm in my life, but what am I going to do about it? I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Notice this, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." You know what David did in the midst of the storm? I think is good for all of us as Christians to do. He got down on his knees. The Bible says evening, morning, and at noon. Throughout the day, he got down on his knees and he begged and said, "God, I need You. God, I need You in the storm. I need Your strength. I need Your help. I need Your provision. I need You to get me through. God, would You work in my life?" He developed a close relationship with Christ. And you know what I need in the midst of that storm? I need that close relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what would benefit me is if I had that close relationship before I go in the storm. Develop that relationship now so that when the storm arises, Christ is already by my side. I already have that close fellowship and I go to Him and get that peace. Does that solve all my problems? It gives me peace through all my problems. There's peace that Christ brings, peace that passes all understanding that He can bring us, that so many people never experience because they don't have that fellowship with the Savior. They're not walking close near Him. Can I say, don't miss out on that peace as you go through the storm. The storm is harmless when I'm in the presence of Christ in my life. I need to get as close as I can to Christ in His Word, in prayer, in the house of God. Just get every bit of the Word that I can. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, Caesar would travel. And when he would travel overseas, he would encourage the master of the ship that he had on board by saying, "Thou hast Caesar on board and Caesar's fortune." Meaning, you have good fortune because Caesar's on your ship. Can I encourage you, Christian, this morning? If you have that relationship with Christ and you have that fellowship with Him that's close to Him, you have the Savior on board and you have the Savior's fortune and His peace with you. Hey, there's nothing that I got to fear out there. Let me put your mind at ease this morning. You have Christ by your side. And if you don't have that relationship, that closeness, get close. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to thee. Get close to the Father this morning. The storm is harmless as long as Christ is on board. Stay in the ship. I can't have that relationship with Christ if I don't stay in the ship. Stay in the ship in the storm. It's harmless if you're with Christ. And then lastly, we'll be done. Stay in the ship because the storm has an opportunity at the other end. Hey, Christian. The storm's hard, the storm's rough, and those waves are no fun. But there's an opportunity at the end of the storm. God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan on the other side of the storm. The story of the disciples being in the storm does not end in chapter 4. Now, we only read the chapter 4, but if you read on in chapter 5, we see the rest of the story. You see, they take this little trip over across the Sea of Galilee. They go through this horrific storm, and they get to Gadara. And then you see in chapter 5, midway through the chapter, they get back on a ship, and they head back. And I was reading that, and I thought to myself, so little time spent in Gadara, was there any worth to going through that great horrific storm, almost losing your life, just to head back to where you came from? Christ, what's the point of the storm here? Why did we have to go through this? You ever think, was that storm really worth it? Did I really have to go through that? We see in Mark chapter 5 that there's someone that Christ and the disciples had an opportunity to influence on the other side of the storm. Hey, there was a man over there, a man indeed. A man in despair. A man in desperation. This man was a wild man called the Maniac of Gadara. Many of you, if you grew up in Sunday school, you know the story. I'm not going to go over and explain it. But this crazy man that nobody can bound. All of a sudden, the disciples get to the other side of the storm. And they have that influence on him. And you see later on in the chapter, I believe maybe it's by verse 15 or so, where he's sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and sitting at the Savior's feet. Can I say, if that was the only reason for the storm, was to get to the other side, to see this man, and his life changed around, it would have been a pretty good reason. Now, I believe he taught the disciples many things through the storm. But at the end of the storm, there was an opportunity to influence somebody's life. Now, some storms that God brings us through, Maybe the only reason he brought us through that storm is because there's somebody on the other side of that sea. Hey, there's somebody on the other side of that storm. There's somebody on the other side of that trial that I can be a help to, that I can minister to, that I can influence in their life. Maybe I can lead them to Christ or encourage them in the Lord or help them through that difficult time or that addiction or whatever it be in their life. But God has somebody that He wants me to influence. They went all the way over. They come out of the ship. They immediately meet that man. And God changes his life. They would not have been able to influence this man had they stayed on the other side of the sea. Hey, his life had not been changed had they not gone through the storm. Why do I need to stay in the ship through the storm this morning? Because God has somebody He's wanting me to influence. Somebody He's wanting me to reach. Somebody that He wants me to help in my life. Whatever I've gone through, you say, I don't know how I can help anybody with this. God has somebody out there He's wanting you to reach. There are people God has for me to help, for you to help Him reach. I cannot do it until I go through the storm. I had a youth pastor growing up whose name was Jay Reed. He pastors down in Georgia now. A number of years ago, he had a little one. I don't even think a year old when she was first diagnosed with leukemia. Leukemia healed. Praise God. Not long later, leukemia comes back with a vengeance. Not 2 years old, passes away. Hard time. Spent months and months and months in the children's hospital down there. A storm. Storm was not meant to destroy. Storm was meant to help. We've got to see that. But God had somebody else at the other end of the storm. I was talking to him this week, and he was telling me how his wife's brother came down there, and they have some kids, and their littlest one, just a baby, caught some type of pneumonia when she was in the hospital. And when she caught that, it turned into a super virus, and they had to take her to the children's hospital there for weeks and weeks and weeks. They weren't even at home. They were on vacation down seeing her brother. And man, away from it all, and he had to go back to that children's hospital. He told me, he said, I did not ever want to go back to that place. Just the experiences that I'd gone through there. But you know what he was able to be? Through all that, he was able to be a help to that family. He was able to minister in their time of need. He said, was that the only reason? I don't know that that was the only reason God had him go through all that. What can I say that was a reason? There's people on the other side of the sea that God has for us to help. I cannot help others if I bail from the boat. Hey, don't be selfish, Christian, about your storm. Hey, listen to me. Don't be selfish. Well, man, whatever, God sent a storm in my life. I'm just going to sit here and pout about it. I'm not going to do anything else for God. I'm not going to serve God because I've gone through a trial. I suffered a little bit. I'm going to quit on the ministry. I'm going to quit in my Bible. I'm just going to give up and jump out of the storm. And God has somebody He wants you to help and to reach, and now you're not going to reach that person because you didn't want to go to the other side. Hey, don't be selfish going through the storm. We get in that self-pity. We get all worked up about ourselves because of what we went through in our experience when God wants us to continue on and to be a factor in somebody else's life as well. Hey, stay in the ship in the storm because there's an opportunity at the other end of the storm. When you get through the storm, start investing your life to influence those on the other side. It's always worth it to stay in the ship, Christian. Always worth it to stay in the ship. And no one asked for the storm. I said at the beginning, only nut jobs like storms. Nobody asked for them. I don't like storms and neither do you. I'm not saying this morning, go home, get on your knees and ask God for a storm. But what I am saying is when God brings a storm into your life or the storm that you're in currently now or the storm that you pass through, understand that God has a purpose in the storm. And when there's purpose in the storm, there can be profit in the storm. There can be growth from it. There can be a use for it. Are you in a storm this morning? Can I ask you, how are you viewing that storm? Are you viewing it from a wrong view? Master, don't you care for me? Master, don't you care that I'm going through that? How are you viewing the storm in your life? Are you getting ready to bail out in the boat? You're getting ready to jump over, quit the faith, quit this, quit that. Turn, go back to shore. Can I encourage you this morning? Just stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. The storm is sent by God. It's not happenstance. It's not by accident. It's sent by God. God put it there for a reason. Can I say the storm is not sent to destroy your life? It's sent to direct your life. God wants to teach us. God wants to grow us. Grow our faith. God wants to grow our knowledge of Him. God wants to grow our admiration for Him. Stay in the ship. The storm has harmlessness as long as we stay close to the Savior's side. Get close to the Savior this morning. And then look for the opportunity on the other side of that storm. Stay in the ship. Don't bail out in the boat in the midst of the storm.